Welcome to the Move Beyond podcast from International Sport and Culture Association. The main topic of the podcast is using sport as a tool for integration of refugees. My name is Monica, and I will be your host. This is the last episode of the Move Beyond podcast. Today, I have with me two Danish organizations who will share their experience. Let's get started and get inspired. So at the beginning, I'd like to ask you just to briefly introduce yourselves to our listeners and maybe share a story of how you got into this, like working with refugees. So should we start maybe with Alexander?
Yeah, my name is Alexander and I work for the Danish Red Cross. I've been working here for 2 years or so. I've been working with or doing volunteer work in the last 20 years or so. And the refugee part or the integration part is new for me. It was when I started in Red Cross, I started in this field. But I know a lot about volunteerism, and that's maybe why I started in Red Cross.
Thank you. Peter, what's your story?
Yes, my name is Peter Bennett. I'm head of inclusion in DGI's outlet in Nordsjælland, in the northern part of Copenhagen. I've worked with asylum seekers for many years, both in asylum camps and also asylum seekers who have come into Denmark and who's been granted citizenships or been granted allowance to stay in Denmark, in different places in Denmark. And also for many years, I've been a volunteer soccer trainer for a team of asylum seekers at an asylum center called Sjælsmark near Copenhagen every Tuesday from 11 to 12:30. And that's been a great joy.
Great, thank you. So I would like to know a little bit more about the organizations you're working in and what is the main focus of the organizations. And then also, towards the end, if you could tell us a bit more about if you have been working together already or not, like, so the DGI and the Red Cross, have they been working together on some sort of project? Can we start with you, Peter?
Well, I represent the DGI. It's a national sports organization, and inclusion of target groups who are not members of a sport club is a main focus for DGI. So that goes for asylum seekers, but also other target groups in society who are not involved in sports, because we believe that being part of a sports club is a place where you can meet other people, you can excel in physically in your sport. But you also have a way into society from another aspect, so to speak. And Red Cross, well, we've worked a lot with Red Cross, not in particular with Alexander and his department, but with the asylum sort of department of Red Cross and some of the local Red Crosses in the area that the GI in Nordsjælland covers.
I represent Danish Red Cross, and the Red Cross movement is a worldwide organization in, I don't know, 192 countries or so, doing all kinds of different things in war zones and catastrophes and so on. But in the Danish focus in Denmark is integration, of course, and vulnerable children and families and elder and people who are lonely, and we have secondhand shops and so on all over Denmark. My department is for people who has been granted asylum or is a newcomer to Denmark and trying to get them into the society. DGI and Red Cross has worked together in this field for many years. We had a project called Communities Building Bridge some years ago, where the main focus was to assemble all the interests in a local community regarding to integrate people, and in that was of course DGI as well, and in the asylum centers, Peter and his folk has been doing great work.
In the Move Beyond project, you've executed a common pilot project. Could you let us know a bit more about it? Like, how did you come up with it, and what was the main goal of it?
But we're starting picking up which municipality was of interest. Of course, Peter is representing North Zealand, and of course it should be around that area. So we were looking at the We were looking at the demographics for the different municipalities up there and seeing where the BOS organization has was a strong organization. So there was a possibility to build something up, and therefore we picked Rudersdal State Municipality. And we early on learned that there were many people doing something like this or an issue of this, helping people who has been granted asylum into sport activities or other activities. So the main idea from the start on was to get all those people together, because we thought that if the volunteer in the Red Cross or the Danish Refugee Council, or I don't know, who has a contact with somebody who has been new to Denmark, knew the person in the tennis club or in the football club and so on, the bridge between those two organizations would be easier. So that was the main focus in the start. And now we are just helping the sports organizations being ready to take good care of those new target groups. And our idea is later on to have a big bazaar where all the children in Rudersdal could come and see which clubs is really ready to receive me as a member and helping them getting into that club. So that is briefly what we are doing in this project.
Well, the only thing I can add is actually it's totally very well described by Alexander. As what we want to do is to what we saw in Rudersdal municipality was there are many volunteers and many municipality employees working in the field of refugees, all wanting to help them as good as they can getting into society and getting them integrated. But what we noticed very quickly was that there's actually no coordination between the parties. So that be sports clubs, social clubs, schools, integration consultants, and so on. They all work on the same aim, but they don't work together. And that's actually the core of our project in Rudersdal municipality, is to try and get these parties these well-meaning people and volunteers to work together to achieve more with the same amount of effort. That's the only thing I wanted to add.
If I can add to Peter's.
Sure.
Because we wanted this not to be a project that ended a specific date. And of course, Peter and I and this project will end a date. But we hope to get a mental change in those people working in the municipality already to get this collaboration easier going onwards forever.
I wanted to ask you now a bit more about the process of your pilot project. So how did you start, and what were like different stages in this process, and also if there were some challenges during all of this? So we can take it like step by step, so that we can give some idea how people can actually do this, and also maybe learn or know what they could possibly encounter as a challenge on the way of doing something similar that you've been doing. So,
well, different stages, of course. The first thing we did was to get together with the municipality. And already there, actually, even though it wasn't our initial plan, we actually started out trying to getting the different departments in the municipality who are not talking together, even though they are working with the refugees. So that was actually trying to getting the club consultant, the development consultant, the integration consultant, the school consultant together to explain what we wanted to do, and trying to getting them involved, all of them, in this project. That sort of succeeded. And then the next thing was, of course, getting a clear sort of clarity of how many social clubs inside the municipality who were working with or who represented refugees, and the same on the sports side, trying to find out how many sports club in Wurstale municipality has actually been working with refugees before, have been open for refugee members memberships before. So that was sort of a research phase. That was the first phase, a planning phase. And then next we went into trying to sort of do some welcome workshops where the aim was to prepare the clubs, or more clubs in Rudersdal municipality to welcome new members, among others, refugees. And that's what we've been doing during the spring until the COVID thing hit us and the whole world. And the next step is to do a sort of a big festival where sports clubs and refugees can meet each other. And finally, of course, we have the multiplier where we want to spread out the best practice advices that we've run into during this project to all other employees in DGI and Red Cross all over the country who work with or who are in connection with refugees. This is a very local project where we hope to sort of find a Rudersdal municipality model that we can spread out to the whole country.
As Peter said, we learned early on that there were many interests in this field concerning refugees going to sports activities. Many organizations in this field who were uncoordinated, and even as Peter said, we were spoken to the municipality, who of course, as a municipality, has different silos concerning different areas of the municipality, and we learned that people from different kind sectors of the municipality worked with the same thing, and they didn't know already. So it was an eye opener for them as well. Oh, do you do the same as me? Now we should talk together. And one of our main idea is to build those bridges and doing concrete so that they'll last ongoing from this project. Now, one of the things we did was the focus group. We know Peter has working in this field for many years, and many of my colleagues has. So we already knew which barrier could be in the way for refugees going to sports activities, but we didn't know whether or not they were represented in the Rudersdal municipality. So it was really keen and important for us to ask which were the real barrier in Rudersdal. And of course, we find out that the fee going to sports activities was one of the barriers. So we early on getting a coalition and some meetings with a local organization called The Bridge, which actually is funding fees for vulnerable children going into sports activities. And we also learned that many people has tried to do something like this before and failed in one way or another. So many people have been telling us that it is not easy to doing this, and you were not the first one to try, but please try again, and if you succeed, it will be perfect. Another thing we learned that is that sports clubs are busy doing all kind of things, and some of them do not have the focus of refugees and new target groups. So it has been an effort for us to persuade them to get this focus of refugees and new target groups.
Well, the main learning point is that it will always go in waves. A couple of years ago, when we had refugees walking on the motorways, on the highways in Denmark, trying to get into the country, of course, there was a very big focus from media, from municipalities, from the government, from everybody on refugees and trying to help them. And as Alexander says, one of the big barriers has been that it's not top of focus for sports clubs right now, and especially not because of the COVID-19 situation. I mean, it's been turned upside down a little bit regarding focus. Now it's sort of less more focus on the COVID thing and how to open up sports clubs again slowly but securely. After COVID, so sort of the refugee agenda has been pushed a little bit aside, and also Denmark has a very restrict refugee policy from the government side. So we've seen from the situation 5-6 years ago when they were walking on the highways until now, nearly no refugees get into the country. So we don't have this massive sort of refugee numbers of people standing at the borders trying to get into Denmark. So that's of course been a big challenge. Also, it's been a challenge that the sports club and the social clubs, sort of the DGI clubs and the Red Crosses and others who work into this team or into this area as social clubs. They don't work very well together on a grassroots sort of level, and sports clubs is maybe not the top of a social club's agenda regarding to try to integrate refugees in local societies. They are more concerned of course of language and of getting them back and forth to sort of, so to speak, more important life stuff as the meetings with the municipality and stuff like that. So one of the big tasks in this project is of course also to try to make the social clubs get into the importance of using sports as sort of a tool for integration and seeing that as a big plus.
So in terms of the corona, how did you deal with it? Of course it affected your work, but and put it on pause, but is there something else that you did maybe in terms of that?
Yes, we actually did. We had a series of offline sort of welcome courses for clubs planned this spring. We managed to do one offline workshop for 3 hours, where we met with clubs and also some social clubs and sports clubs, talking about the integration of refugees, how we can do that more easily in a sports club. Then the COVID came, and we actually did one online workshop. And hopefully now the situation in Denmark is so good so we can do offline again.
I'm wondering now what are your next steps in terms of the project? It's not completely done yet, and I know that you have something planned for the autumn, and I hopefully it materializes. So what are the next steps? Are you also following up on the project at some point when it's going to be done? Do you plan to work together closely in the future? Do you have some ideas maybe already?
We had planned a festival or a bazaar where all the children of Rudersdal could come and see those clubs that we were training in the Good Welcome during COVID. So of course we have to cancel that. We are hoping to be able to do that in the middle of September instead. So we have buses of children and families coming together in a sports big sports place, trying to throw a handball, I don't know, or playing a bit of soccer and so on, and hopefully in that event the children are learning that they really want to go to, I don't know, tennis, football, anything that they want. And at the same place, at the same time, we'll have the possibility to apply for a free fee with the bridge or with DGI and so on. So hopefully in this event in September, if it's able to be there, we'll get a lot of those refugee children to get to sport.
As the rest of the world, we are going to get extremely busy now because this fair or this workshop or this bazaar was actually meant to be held in the spring. In the spring. So we've postponed it for the autumn. And also one very satisfying and happy and fun thing happened at the first workshop we held, where we got social clubs in Rudersdal municipality together with some sports clubs before the 3-hour workshop had ended. We had actually managed to pair a group of, I think they were 10 refugees who wanted to form their own football team. We managed to pair them with the local football club. So they're now starting up as soon as it's possible because of the COVID situation. They're going to start up training in this football club, and the football club has said that they, everything regarding the sort of the fee for them to play, they will sponsor the sports club. So that's very good. Mm-hmm. And as Alexander said, hopefully the fair will sort of make more of these matches, and that's actually the whole idea with the fair. Or with the bazaar day, that sports clubs can meet refugees and refugees hopefully get interested in what they have to offer these sports clubs, and then we can pair team refugees and sports clubs up in the same way as we did at the workshop.
Yeah, let's hope so. So I'm curious more about the future plans. If after the Move Beyond project and after the pilot project, if you have thought about it, maybe to work together, so Red Cross and the DGI in some sort of way in terms of the integration of refugees through sport.
Our Multiply event is Peter has a lot of colleagues not only working in the North Zealand municipality or area but all over Denmark, and so have I, of course, in Red Cross, and we have also people here working not with the refugees but with the vulnerable families all in all. So the idea for our Multiplier is to get all those people together, and people and I and people working this project telling about the mechanism that we found in Rudersdal, and there we hope to start a process all over Denmark which look like what we did in Rudersdal, that people of the same interest but of the different organizations starting to work more together in the local municipality and therefore know each other and so on. So we're hoping that this should be starting point from our organizations to work a lot closer together all over Denmark.
Anything to add, Peter?
Yes, the whole reason we DJI went into this project is was actually to move closer to Red Cross. We've done some small works together here and there in some projects, as Alexander also talked about before. But we definitely saw this project as a way to expand this collaboration, because as organizations, we both have the same concern for sort of vulnerable citizens in Denmark, in the whole world, and their integration into society. We see more and more vulnerable target groups, vulnerable citizens, sort of getting lost in society, getting lonely, getting alienated in their own local neighborhoods because of so and so many reasons. So we have this same concern, and hopefully after this project, we can both as partners go into other projects, be it EU projects or be it the local projects. So that's sort of on a national plan, that's our hopes for future collaboration.
I hope so too, that it materializes on a national level. So yeah. Okay, so I'm wondering, what, in your opinion, what are the most important benefits for the sport organization, so for the DGI, to work with non-sport organization? And then we'll go to the same question, but from the perspective of non-sport organization working with the sport organization. So what are some sort of like benefits and maybe also learnings that you as DGI, as a sport organization, gained throughout this collaboration?
Well, first and foremost, we think in DGI, I mean, the world has changed. So how sports club acted and what they were as institutions 10 years ago is not the same as now. Society has changed. And we feel and we think that that sports club have to take responsibility also for the citizens who are not members of the sports clubs, typically vulnerable citizens. And in that perspective, of course, we have to take this responsibility because we think that sports club can offer something very unique, namely bringing people together, of course, also doing sports, but also bringing people together and giving people sort of something meaningful to do with their lives. And when you go down to seeing, okay, what's the upside for sports clubs doing that part of social work? Well, of course, if you want to reach vulnerable target groups, you have to work together with the people who know them. We don't know these refugees, so to speak, as a sports club. So if you put that up as a high agenda to take responsibility for this, you have to work together with social clubs who know them. We have to work closer together locally with the Red Cross, all the others who work into the refugee areas. We have to work with handicap organizations if we want to do more for the handicaps. We have to work together with organizations for elderly if we want to put up some good sport activities also for the elderly, and so on and so on. And for the sports club, of course, this will both make them live up to the responsibility, but also it will bring in new kinds of volunteers. I can see that in the local football club I'm in myself. We have made a team for younger citizens with dementia, and that has brought in both new members, but also new kinds of volunteers, new kinds of trainers. It has brought in a whole new life into the club, and it has also sort of given a new perspective of what it is to be members of this local football club. It's not only just a football club wanting to excel in sports, but it's also a sports club that wants to take part of and take responsibility to do something for society, and especially for them who are not so fortunate as others.
Alexander, what about from your side? So as a non-sport organization as such, what do you see as benefit to working with the sport organization?
Mm. Before I answer that, I just want to add from Peters that many sports clubs are losing members these years, and this could be one of the burning platforms that refugees could be the new target group, and therefore getting more members up again. And some places they could actually be lucky to get a member who has been a pro doing this sport in the home country where they came from, and therefore get some really, really good members doing this activity. Besides that some of them has a tendency to be enormously addicted and involved in this activity if they start, so they get very active members out of getting refugees as a target group. Now, for the other country questioned, it is right, as Peter said early on, that our volunteers both have the focus for the refugees to learning the language, to getting some place to stay, and get the economy going well, and so on. And not many people are getting asylum into Denmark these years, so there's not, of course, that many new coming. So the focus for them these years is to get a more deep integration, getting them into job or to education, or getting the families got together, reunified. And in this project of the deep integration, getting into the local municipality or community is an important stage, and the sports club and the sports activities could be one of those elements getting somebody deep into the society that they live in now. So it's really it's great for us to working together now, and we are changing the volunteers' focus these years anyhow. So it's great starting up this.
Yeah, and of course, DGI, we're always a little bit sad when we hear that, and that sort of integration into sports club is not really accepted as deep integration. I have an example from a colleague I have who works in the southern part of Copenhagen, and he had when sort of the pressure on with refugees in Denmark was on its high a couple of years ago. He had one team of refugees as a teacher who just came in and who were not part of a sports club, and their sort of speed in learning Danish language was, it was double as low, or how you say, as another team actually had a couple of years later, who were part of a football club. Because the football trainers, sort of as part of their training, they didn't speak English to them. They only spoke Danish, and that was very, very deliberate. They did that, and within no time, they actually learned Danish through the football through the other Danish kids they played together with. So if, I'm sure this sport, and that's of course the whole Move Beyond project in itself. Sports and being part of a sports club is really in our sense sort of a deep integration tool. Also for myself, if I were to move to Manchester or somewhere else in the world, the first thing I would do actually to integrate in society was to get into the local football club, and there I would immediately within the first sort of training, I would meet other Manchester people or wherever I moved to, and in that sense, the integration was already ongoing. And also, sports clubs is sort of part of the civic society. It's not part of the system. So in that sense, and the same with Alexander's sort of Red Cross outlets, we're all part of civic society. So in that sense, many special refugees who come into Denmark, they are used to meeting Danish people inside the system. So they have sort of distance to these people, be it at the asylum center, of being the municipality workers, or being at the school or whatever. They're all people evaluating them or in telling them what to do and not to do. In a sort of a civic society, we're just seeing them as people first and foremost, and not as refugees. And that's a big difference, actually, for people to get out to places where they where they're seen as the persons they are.
Peter was talking much about the benefits for the refugees getting into sports, and in that I want to add that that the third half should is very important in this. That in the locker room, that it maybe somebody found it out that somebody has a job for the refugee or have a place they could stay or go in the same school and so on. So therefore, the third half is very important in the integration. It's not only the physical getting to move and get the pulse high and so on, but also learning to speak to people which live nearby you and could be your contacts, which could be relevant in all kind of manners.
So who are the key stakeholders that can contribute to the integration of refugees through sport, and how can we invite them to collaborate with us?
I think during this project, Alexander and I have found out who the key stakeholders are in a municipality, actually. It's both the municipality and internally in the municipality getting the different departments to sort of work in the same direction. But also outside the sort of municipality building, it's also the social clubs and the sports clubs and volunteers in general, organized or not organized volunteers who want to help. And there's a big organization sort of task there, not only in Rudersdal, where we're working now and trying to sort of getting things up and running, but also in the other many municipalities in Denmark. And sort of on a higher level, it's of course, I think DGI and Red Cross and the big national, international organizations working in this area, the same actually goes for them. To sort of, they get sort of a network, or they get the opportunity to meet each other and form some agendas that they all can back up, because I think together they will probably make a stronger political statement than each of them with their own local or not local but organizational focus points.
I think when you're starting up in a new municipality, you have to do the mapping all over again, because we learned that in Rudersdal, so many people were in this field of getting refugees to sports, and that mapping should be due in the specific place where you want to start up. Because it's very different which civic organizations are in this field and where in the municipality this focus is. So you have to, I'm sorry, start all over again of learning who are the interests when you start up in your new municipality.
I totally agree. It's very different, but the case in Rudersdal may not be the case in the next municipality. Maybe it's the local librarian in another municipality who is sort of the one who holds the whole refugee thing up and running. Maybe it's sort of a group of volunteer clubs that holds it up in a third. So it will be different from place to place, from region to region, from country to country, probably in the whole of the EU.
How to get refugees higher on the political agenda in local communities? And do you have any input on that or experiences?
Well, it's to get more focus on that. I mean, if Alexander succeeds with some of his social clubs to do some good work, and the same if we succeed to help some local sports clubs to do some good work with refugees, What we're not so good at, we're actually rather good at our volunteers, both in Red Cross and in DGI, to do good stuff and to help a lot of people. We are not so good at actually saying it out loud and doing the press announcements or taking hold of the local press, whatever. We have to get these stories out because the majority of stories regarding refugees are negative stories. So sort of to turn that around, we have also to tell the good stories.
I totally agree, as Peter said, or some places we're just trying to get the refugees lower on the political agenda, mm-hmm. because there are so many negative stories and negative perspectives some places in Denmark regarding to refugees. So as Peter was saying, we're just trying to show the good examples and really get the deep integration of those people, so that the mindset of the Danish population will be different and more positive towards refugees.
So how to advocate and promote the opportunities and initiatives there are within the local city or community related to sport and other activities?
The important thing here is that the volunteers in Red Cross or Danish Refugee Center and so on, getting the mindset into that sport activities actually could be good for those target groups or those refugees. And in that, getting to know the tennis coach or the good football coach and so on. And that could be a mechanism starting to get more to get into to sports activities. And as we are trying to do here, we don't know if it's a good idea, but we're trying that getting the big festival and advocate for that in the local newspaper and the TV station and so on. And in that event, starting the mindset of getting into sports and the objective.
I think actually maybe there's a whole new project, EU project in the whole advocacy thing, because it is a problem that many good initiatives don't get promoted, and maybe not promoted to the right people at the right time. And also the whole welcome thing, the whole way into the doorstep into society. Maybe that's a whole new project lying there. It could definitely be taken out and be looked at and investigated a little bit more than it is in this project.
Okay, what does integration of refugees bring to local community? Got any input on that?
I think people who are isolated in one way or another don't contribute to the local municipality. So integration really gives good giving citizens instead of people who are isolated, who are bored, who maybe do a lot of crime and don't contribute in any way. So really a municipality could benefit a lot of doing integration instead of isolation.
Anything to add, Peter?
Well, I'm totally agree. I mean, it's difficult to contribute to society if you are lonely, if you have low self-esteem, if you don't have any network locally, where if you don't speak the language, if you have low self-esteem, if you have low self-love. I mean, it's really difficult to contribute as a good citizen, as Alexander says. And that be it if you're a refugee or if you're being ethnic Danish people who also could be hit by all these things. That's why I say that it's really it's a responsibility for sports clubs to take part of integrating these people and doing our part in getting as many as possible of citizens turned into contributors.
I just wanted to say that some of the refugees were really able to do things and were strong and had social capital in the home countries, so they are much more easy to move out of their vulnerability than some of the old Danish vulnerables.
Do we need to change the public perception of refugees, and how can we do it?
I mean, in DGI, we can't change the whole world, but what we can do is we can try and change the sports clubs' sort of perception of refugees, and not only refugees, as I say, but all vulnerable target groups. And that's what we're trying to do. And maybe it sounds a little bit high-fetched to say that they have the responsibility to do this, but that's actually what our aim. And of course, underneath that, there are some tools we can help them with. But in general, that's what we want to focus on in DGI, trying to change the sports clubs' perceptions, because there are a lot of good things. Because we've been talking about barriers, and Alexander, I has also been talking a lot about barriers and what we can do and how we got. But we also have to remember that there are many good cases. There are many good cases out there, and Alexander knows them. I know them. His volunteers knows them, and the sports clubs that involved also knows them. There are also many good examples of things going good, and where the integration is flowing between refugees and local Danish societies. So it's back to what we're talking about before. We also have to get these good cases up to the surface. But generally, DGR wants to sort of change the sports clubs' perception of refugees.
Yeah, of course we have to move the public perception of refugees in general, but we and a lot of other civil societies see that a lot of volunteers are coming to help this movement, getting people to get integrated, in that there comes a lot of great stories about how this really works, and many refugees wanting to giving back to the society and starting to get volunteers themselves in other clubs and so on. So our and Peter's work are slowly, I believe, moving the public perception of this area.
Okay, so Peter and Alexander, thank you very much for your time and sharing the experiences, and hopefully this will inspire our listeners and other organizations to do something similar in the field of integration of refugees through sport. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
So this was the last episode of our Move Beyond podcast. We hope you got some inspiration and motivation to start or continue your work with refugees. Thank you very much for your attention, and check learn.iska.org for more courses. Until next time, keep moving people.